a little bit of something on the parasha. So this is taken from the Chumash, the Breslov Chumash, which contains Liktei Halachot on the parasha. So the piece which I found here to speak about is a piece which ties in nicely the parasha with Hanukkah. Right, the parasha, the parashiot of Vayeshev and Miketz, both fall on Hanukkah, depending on the year where they fall, but either before or during Hanukkah each year. And the parashiot are closely linked to Hanukkah in many different ways, but just one of the ways we're going to see now. Okay, so on the pasuk Eile Toldot Yaakov Yosef. So the parasha opens by saying these are the generations of Yaakov, Yosef, and we learn about Yosef. Oh, there's a lot of meaning in that by itself, but let's read what Rav Natan in Luketei Halachot says, wants to teach us on this pasuk. Behine inyan machloket. There is a machloket. Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. The machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Beinyan hit karavut hanefashot, in the matter of how to do kiruv. You didn't know this. There is a dispute between Beit Hillel and Beit Yah and Beit Shammai on how to do kiruv.
Kiruv.
Kiruv. Right. Beinyan hit karavut nefashot harachokot. In the matter of bringing close those who are very far, not the general kiruv, but the extreme kiruv, right? We're going to learn ma'od ma'od, who are very very far. She'ein ra'ui min hadin lekaravan, that's not fitting min hadin to bring them close. She'beit Shammai amrim, because Beit Shammai say, pochet v'cholech, reduce and continue. We'll explain what that means in a minute. And Beit Hillel omrim mosif b'cholech. Beit Hillel say mosif, increase and continue. What are we talking about? Reduce and continue, increase and continue. Where is this machloket? So the machloket that we're talking about is found in Gemara Shabbos. Right. This is anyone who has some free time over the next week or two and wants to look at a Gemara should get a copy of Gemara Shabbos. The art scroll, if you can, or if you can do it without the art scroll, is great. There's a section in the Gemara which talks about, which is called My Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? The section is not long, it's about two or three daf, which is all about what is Hanukkah. And all about the laws of Hanukkah come from this Gemara, in Gemara Shabbos. Gemara Shabbos, it starts from in Perek, on Kaf Amud Bet, and the Perek B'man Madlikin. Right? That the Ashkenazis say the Mama Likin on Friday night, right? That little mission of what we light with, not anything that's disgusting and all that stuff. Right, so in that section, brought over there is, and what do you light a Hanukkah candle with? The same rules or not? So that's the intro. And then we go into Hanukkah, what's Hanukkah for, what's it there, what's going on with Hanukkah. The Gemara talks about it. So it's a short, many yeshivas take that, those two or three dafs, and I learned it a few times in Nachum Meir with Rav Sperling over the Hanukkah period, that those two or three dafs are very nice. Anyway, in the middle of that, one of the more famous parts of this Gemara is the dispute between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which is how many Hanukkah candles you like. So I'm just going to read a couple of lines from the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, who was taught in a brighter, Mitzvat Hanukkah ne'er ish u'beito. The mitzvah of Hanukkah is ne'er ish u'beito. That means one candle per household. Right? The principle, if you can be yotze your chovah, you can be yotze your obligation for Hanukkah candles to light one candle per household per night. That's it. That's the basic. U'mahadrin, and if you are mahadrin, this is the first place, one of the only places, I think, first place where you see the use of the word mahadrin. We now have stamped over everywhere. It comes from here. Mahadrin, right? Doesn't mean that it's black kosher. Right? Doesn't mean that the chicken got shefted in while the person was saying tealing. It means, anyway, it's a different shiur. Mahadrin, ne'er l'kol echad, And the Mahadrim people say, no, a candle each. Everyone lights one candle each. That's if you're Mahadrim. Lekol echad v'echad. U'mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. Do you want to be Mahadrin min ha-mahadrin? So that's where we have a dispute. Beit Shammai omrim, Yom Rishon, Madlik Shmoneh. Beit Shammai say, on the first day you light eight. Mikan ve'elech pochet v'cholech. From here on, you pochet b'cholech. That's the phrase he brings out here. From here on, you reduce and go. One less every day. 8, 7, 6, 5. Ubein Hillel omrim, Yom Rishon, Madlik Echad. Mikan be'elech, Mosif b'cholech. From here, you add and you continue. B'cholech. Additional things going on there. So, what are we learning here? So here, we're learning that actually, what is that dispute about? So like everything in the Gemara, you've got the Pshat, which is just something about Hanukkah candles, how many to light, clear. And you've got, the Gemara is, like our Torah, it's on different levels. You've got Pshat, Remez, Drash, Sod, also in the Gemara. Gemara here, Rav Nachman comes to tell us that what's the dispute? The dispute between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, they don't really care, it's a topic. 8 to 1 or 1 to 8. No, what the dispute is over here is how you bring back, or if you're tall, you bring back, people who are very far away, very, very far away. Right? This follows the dispute of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai elsewhere. We see clearly elsewhere the famous dispute of the famous incident where someone comes to Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai and says, I want to convert, while standing on one leg. And Beit Hillel hits him with a stick. And Beit Shammai hits him with a stick. Get out of here. And Beit Hillel says, no, I'll teach you the whole Torah standing on one leg. Anything that you find disfavorable, don't do to other people. And the rest is commentary. Right? Go learn. Right? So we see in that case that their Shita, the Shita generally is, Beit Hillel is very accepting, he'll bring anyone in. And Beit Shammai says, get out of here. You're a joker. You're not interested. You're not fitting to come close to, right? If you look over there in the Gemara where it talks about that, maybe you know that's also in Shabbos. I can't remember exactly. It says, Beit Shammai hit him with Emet Habayit. The stick of the house, but the amah is a yardstick that you use to measure things in a house. Apparently, it's got a yardstick is a good right, but it's emet habayit. It's really amah of is emet, right? But here he hit him with the truth. He knocked him over the head with the truth and said, "You can't take this." Right? Truth is, the truth doesn't allow you to do this. Anyway, so we see here. So what do we see here? So Rav Nachman explains. It's a machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, whether you pochet b'cholech or mosif b'cholech. Ki tzrichim la'asot kelim v'simtsumim, because you need to make kelim, vessels, v'simtsumim. Simtsumim are contractions, constrictions. Ke'ela, I'll explain what that means in a minute. Like these. Ba'ofen, in a way, she'yuchul la'ir gam b'hem oro yidbarach. In a way that you can enlighten even those kadeshi yikaragul ganhem, in order that they too will come close. What's it mean? It means the job of a person in kiruv is to do simsumim. Simsumim really comes at the root of what simsum is comes from when Hashem created the world. Hashem created the world through Simsum. He took his divine godly light, and we know that he covered it, hid it, brought it down level by level with clothings of different worlds and worlds and worlds until it comes to us where we can take it. Right? And in our world, we can take a very little bit of godly light. Too much godly light, we blow a fuse. Right? A light bulb can't take the electricity direct from the power station. It has to come through transformers before it can accept it. You try and put it all through and just blow. Right? So we're like that too. So we receive our Torah through Simsumim. the full light of the Torah, the full light of we can't take. And even a light that's higher than what we can take is too much. Right? The light, if we start, turn this into a rabbi who knows what they're talking about, I mean, obviously, and turns this into a Kabbalah class, and we're going to be completely lost if we're lucky. And if we're not lucky, we're going to do a lot of damage to ourselves because we haven't got the vessels to take that light. It's just more refined, pure light of Hashem. What can we take? So we can take a little bit of Gemara, a little bit of Chumash, right? That's why the Gemara hides, and the Chumash all hides everything in Peshat. And anyone who doesn't can learn what's underneath the Peshat. And if you don't want to learn what's underneath the Peshat, you can stay with the Peshat. You don't have to. Everyone gets what they need. So in order to teach someone, you have to do Tzimtzum to bring it down to their level. You have to, that's called Tzimtzum, that's taking the light of Hashem and bringing it down to a level that it can be understood and accepted. That's like the great, the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Nachman, were up huge up here, but and then they can speak to you on your level. How can they speak to you on your level? Through Tzimtzum. Right? Rav Arush, in his books, Gan HaShalom, in the book Gan Emunah, taking huge, incredible, lofty ideas that were never revealed for centuries, and were revealed now in an example of, or Rav Brody's book, which does it even more for the English market. You're driving along in your car, and the policeman stops you, and he's going to give you a ticket. You're free. So that is clothing a very high idea about Hashem running the world, and it's all for your own good, in a simsum, where I can accept it. And there are people who can only accept a story about a policeman and a right, but you start saying angels and shemayim and mitzvahs, and can't take it. Too much light. Talk to them about policemen and cars and tickets, Yofi. Now we can do, that's called Simsumim. So the job of those who are doing Kiruv is to narrow down the light to something that's acceptable. And that's what we see over here in the parasha. And that's what the machloket is. Hine inyan machloket zot. And this is the idea of this machloket. Zeu bachinat klala machloket shebachol dor. This is the same machloket which is in every generation, right? We should know that everything is in the Gemara is going on now, right? This is the story. This is everything now. Even if it was talking about an ox and a sheep goring a sheep and a, right? And I don't have an ox and I don't have a sheep and I don't even know what an ox looks like and it's never going to gore my neighbors, right? Everything is there and is also for us. So too the same machloket is now in every generation. Al hatzadikim hashleimot she'oskim lekarev nefashot rechakot la'Hashem yibarach. So the argument, the machloket, which is on tzadikim who try to bring people who are very far close, she'rabim ma'od kamim aleihem, that many people get up against them, v'gam rabim migadolei hatzadikim, and even people who are also tzadikim. Because of this midat adin that is in them. She's saying even gedolim who are cholek, who are arguing against this. What is this? So this is against the idea that of Beit Hillel. It's Beit Shammai arguing with Beit Hillel throughout the generations. Beit Hillel said we should bring close, we should do Kirov, even those who are furthest away. And Beit Shammai saying, no, what are you doing? What are you playing at? And they're holek on them, right? There's here that, in the words of Rav Natan here, that their argument, they're why even Gedolim, but they're Gedolim who are clothed in din. Gedolim who are coming from an aspect of din, like Beit Shammai's approach, Gevurah din. Say this is not appropriate. Leave them out of it. Keep the pure. Don't contaminate yourself. Although all the arguments, right? Whereas Rav Nachman clearly was of the Beit Hillel school of thought, that a per, which is what Yosef, he's going to explain, Yosef was doing the same thing, trying to bring close those who are furthest, those who are furthest away. Right? And that is... and that is, he's explaining why there was so much machloket against him. The machloket against Rav Nachman was based on this argument of machloket of Shammai and Beit Hillel, that it wasn't appropriate, that you should push them away. Push these people away. They're jokers, they're clowns, they're not interested. Stay with people who teach people who want to learn and who are teaching them how to be good Jews. And it's not your problem. Right? That's... So how does he learn this out? So he learns this out through many aspects. Learns this out through the parasha. We see here that Yosef was Yosef. So we learn out, I'm not going to through it, it's quite a long section, but just some ideas that he brings in here. It says Yosef was involved in making Gerim. It says just like his father Yaakov was involved in making Gerim, it says, Ela toldot Yaakov Yosef. Yosef was the primary follower, if you like, follow on from Yaakov, because he acted in the same fashion to make Gerim. How do we see this? So he says, for example, he was Roet Son. Roet Son, Rav Natan explains, means he was a leader of the generation. He was a leader, the son, he looked after the sheep. Right? That's the essence of being a leader, a kinui, a nickname, another name for being a leader. Also we see that he played with the sons of Zilpah and Bilhah. Why did he play with them? So Rashi explains, because they were far away, they were degraded, because they were the sons of the Plegesh, maidservants, right? Of the maidservants, right? So that is, what's that telling us? That's telling us he went after those who were furthest away, who were like left out, who weren't considered to be so hush or so important, right? And what did he do with them? Na'arut says that he acted like a na'ar, he played with them, right? Pasuk said he was a na'ar, and Rashi says he did games and played with them like a kid. In order, and Rav Natan explains, he did that in order to bring them close. That was his way of simsum. The person has to make themselves low in order to bring people close who are far away. Rav Nachman, in one of his stories, explains this very, very nicely in the story of the, depends what you call it, in the rooster prince. The prince, what's it called in here? The turkey prince. Tov, the turkey prince in Rav Kamen's. Right, the turkey prince. What is that? That's a story of the kid who is brought in to save the prince who thinks he's a rooster. And how does he save him? So the story is the son of the king thinks he's a chicken and goes around pecking. We got Rav Shimon was talking about pecking in the like chicken. Top, it's coming back, right? But pecking like a chicken on the floor for his food, naked, lying on the sitting on the floor pecking for food and saying cock-a-doodle-doo, right, all day long, and no one could fix him. Anyway, so there was a wise, depending on the story, a wise man or a child or whatever. Yeah, I think Rav Nachman goes wise man. Right, comes along, and what does he do? He sits with the prince, and he takes his clothes off, and he sits on the floor with the prince, and starts pecking like the prince. And the prince says, "Are you a rooster too?" And he says, "Yeah, I'm a rooster too." And he joins in with them. "You're awfully great, I've got a friend." So next day, same thing, except he's now wearing trousers. And he looks at him and says, "What are you doing wearing trousers? Well, roosters, we don't wear trousers." And the wise man says to him, "Why not? I'm still a rooster, I'm just warmer. Who needs to be a cold rooster? I'm a rooster, I'm just warm. But, yeah, still a rooster? Yeah, you're still a rooster. Okay, Tom, I'll put on trousers too." And he puts on trousers. Next day, he puts on a shirt. Now he sits at a table. Why? You can't sit at a table. Why not? It's just easier to reach the food from here. I'm still a rooster. I can just reach the food better. Oh, okay, I'll sit at the table too. Why do you want to eat that? Why don't you eat a steak? It tastes nicer. But roosters don't eat steak. They eat grain. Yeah, they can eat steak if you want. It just tastes nice. Oh, okay. And slowly, slowly, he brings him back to being human again. He cures the prince. What's the explanation? The explanation of this is kiruv. Kiruv rachokim. People out there think they're roosters. Mamash, they've forgotten that they're the sons of the king. They've forgotten that they're even human. Right? They're acting like animals. Animal on two legs. We hear it a lot. How does the Tzaddik bring them back? You can't go to a person who's an animal on two legs and tell him, like everyone else tried and they didn't get anywhere. Sit at the table, stop being stupid, you don't know what you're doing. Can't hear it, it's too much. Even though it's true. Where I'm holding now in the dirt, I need someone who's on my level. Tzaddik has to come down into the dirt, into your level, through simsumim, through contractions, narrowing the light of into those places, and slowly bring them up. Start telling them, you know what, Tov, I understand you need to work on Shabbos, Tov, that's okay too. Okay, just while you're there on Shabbos, just you can light your candles too. It's still not, you don't have to keep, you can light candles, you don't have to not work. Just light candles, it's good. I can still work and do everything I want to do. Yeah, go to the beach. Still do that. Just light some candles. Okay, the candles dropping. Okay, next time you see him, you know what, lighting candles. Good, yeah, very nice. You know what, you could maybe spend some time at home, have a meal with the family, make it a special meal, invite the family around. Let. Suddenly, before you know it, he's got a black hat in a way. Right? But only through simsumim. Right? Which is a lot of effort. But other people say, no, why are you bothering with someone who's so secular, so out there? So we learn that that's the machloket of the candles. And we go with Beit Hillel. We go with Beit Hillel on the candles that we mosif ha'olech. We increase. We start with one. We start with something little. And we go up. And that's a remez for this idea. So you start with a little bit of light and you increase a little bit more each day. A little bit more each day. B'ezrat Hashem, when you time you got to the eighth day, everyone is fully lit and close to Hashem.
Okay.